Good evening. To our mothers, let me again wish you another happy Mother's Day. What would we do without you? Where would we be without you? We thank you. In a way, this next part, tribute, it's a song that I've heard on the radio, but I'll just turn it into a poem this evening. I can see her now, her weathered skin, old straw hat, and that crooked grin. And she said, "Child, let's make that garden grow. Let's till the soil, pull some weeds. Oh, and here's your bag of precious seeds. 'Cause Grandma's got a secret you should know. So mercy, so grace, so kindness, so faith. Words are like water sprinkled with love. You will harvest all your heart's been dreaming of. So mercy." We knelt right there, and she took my hand. That patch of dirt was holy land. And she said, "Child, I learned this long ago. You can bless or curse. You can live or die. You choose the crop you want in life. That's the greatest secret Grandma knows. You always reap what you sow. So sow mercy, sow grace, sow kindness, sow faith. Words are like water sprinkled with love. You always harvest what your heart's been dreaming of. 'Cause one day, God forbid, you act a fool and fall down hard and fast, 'cause life is cruel. If you ever reach to help a friend, a hand you held might lift you up again. What goes around comes back around, you know. You always reap exactly what you sow. So sow mercy, sow grace, sow kindness, sow faith. Words are like water sprinkled with love. You always reap what your heart's been dreaming of. Sow mercy." As that image is painted in your mind from those words, an unlikely philosopher, an unlikely person that you should listen to, but Grandma has some wisdom, but this world doesn't exactly share it. Even to those young ears, even though the demonstration may be there in the garden, so obvious to you, to a child, to a teen, to a young adult, that may just seem foolishness. And even to us, sometimes we may doubt what is the wisdom of God and embrace what's the wisdom of man. Let me give you some examples. Here are some things that are cliche-ish. You could probably even finish them. He who strikes first strikes last. Get that first blow in. This one from the Klingon Book of Etiquette. For our Trekkie fans, revenge is a dish best served how? Cold. Fool me once, shame on you, but fool me twice, shame on me. How about this one? It sounds good. Knowledge is power, but what does God say? Knowledge puffs up. Three strikes and you are out. How would you like that to be moved in God's category? The Lord helps those who help themselves. Some of you may think that is the Bible. It's not. Money can't buy you happiness, but it helps. Heard that one, maybe even lived by it. Maybe even thought about it some today. he who does die, or he who dies with the most toys wins. I've seen that bumper sticker. I've also played that game. Please. Survival of the fittest. It's not God's law, though, is it? How about this one? Government can fix it. Let's just pass a law. I couldn't resist. Sorry. Now let's listen to some of God's wisdom before we turn into 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. I'm going to go to Matthew. Here's some more foolishness. Now the foolishness of God. See, one way or another, you knew you were going to hear some foolishness tonight. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, this is the words of Jesus, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled, satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness." Is he saying the right word? Blessed, persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He goes further. "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you. Blessed are you, even though falsely, on your account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." A lot of foolishness. Some of those things ring true. Some of those things are the reason that you're a Christian today. Some of you have even seen these come true in your life. You've used them on your children, your grandchildren. But let's continue. In verse 38 of Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount continues, "You have heard that has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Revenge, best served cold, right? "But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you, take your tunic. Let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Nonsense. Make it as hard on him as possible. Drag your feet as slow as possible. Go with him 2. Give to the one who begs from you. And do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." Whereas in Romans in chapter 12, such a beautiful passage, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but do what? Overcome evil with good." Foolishness of God. So against what is touted the wisdom of man. Throughout the Bible, you'll find God saying, "My wisdom is not man's wisdom." So let's pick up where Rob left off two weeks ago. Verse 18 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. For the message of the cross is foolishness. The message of the cross is foolishness. That old rugged cross, foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miracles, miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, dead. A stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. How could such a thing bring about victory? How could such a thing bring about peace? But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose you, the foolish things of the world, to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. No one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let me pause there for a moment. Where's the foolishness? The foolishness of the cross. What is it about the cross? Make yourself go through it. The beatings that he received. The mocking that Jesus received. The crown of thorns pressed on his head. What for? What for? Brought before men. Who do you want? Who do they yell for? Give us Barabbas. What do you want me to do with Jesus? Crucify him. And the crowd echoed, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. They nailed him to a cross. And they pierced his side with a sword. In the end, he died. How can loss be turned into gain? How can the broken be mended? How can defeat be turned into victory? How can death be made into life? Who turns hate into love? Who makes the lost found? It's the foolishness of the cross. It's the foolishness of the cross. But we know what? That God raised Jesus on the third day, giving us hope, showing his power. We have hope, but it's still foolishness to the world. It's still foolishness to this world, but it's God's wisdom. And you've been affected by it, by what Jesus did. You know how it cleanses the sins. You know how you've put Him on baptism to put on Christ, to be redeemed and to be called sons and daughters of God. What a gift. And it gives us hope. And your story is part of that. So many of you have shared your stories with me, with one another, how God made you whole, how God brought you from a broken life. He worked in your marriage. He worked in your children. He works in your life. And you have hope. And you have joy. I love what we call the foolishness of God. It gives me peace inside. It's what helps me to continue. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. If you've put off the foolishness of God, don't wait any longer. If you have forgotten, be reminded. Know and tell what He's done for you. And though not everyone will accept it, not everyone will hear it the same, be out there telling it and thank God for it. If you have any needs, any prayers, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my soul.